Turn to 1 Samuel, please. Perhaps we can just scatter a few crumbs along the way here. The first book of Samuel, and reading in chapter 2, and at verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Chapter 3 and verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, turn with me now to 2 Kings chapter 4. We have 5 very short readings that we want to look at. And perhaps if you take these things home and put them in your own mill, you can grind them out and get a little for them for your soul. Chapter 4 of 2 Kings, and reading at verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a lampstand, and it shall be that when he cometh to us that he may turn in thither. Now, 1 Kings chapter 17. Chapter 17 of 1 Kings. And we'll just cut the reading short. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. This is Elijah. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now we'll go to the New Testament, and read in the book of the Revelation, chapter 3. Chapter 3 of the book of the Revelation, and reading verses 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church that in Philadelphia right. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Then finally, in Hebrews chapter 10, of Hebrews, and reading at verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now in the passages that we've read, you will neither need a space suit nor a diver suit to know what we're going to speak about. There are a number of little things here that are suggested to us in a spiritual way, and I trust that particularly our young brethren and young sisters may be able to pick up a little that you will remember, that will help you in your Christian life. Looking back to our own early days, we remember when we came to conferences here in the city where we were saved and grew up, North Vancouver and Vancouver. We sat through quite a number of three-day conferences, and we didn't have the capacity to take in very much. But thank God, because we had divine life, we did absorb a little of the precious Word of God. And one thing it often did, it gave us an appetite and it gave us a purpose of heart that we were going to make the Word of God the man of our counsels. We wanted to be guided and directed by the Scripture. So that we did gather up a little here and there. And I think that's still the experience of those who are faith in Christ. Now, in these things that we have read, we read about a little colt, and I want you to associate with that growing spiritually. We read about a little chamber, and I want you to think in connection with that, praying privately. And we read about a little cake in 1 Kings 17, and I want you to think in connection with that, giving responsively. And then in Revelation chapter 3, thou hast a little strength. And to think in connection with that, serving scripturally. That's very important, to be serving God in a scriptural manner. And then finally, in connection with Hebrews 10, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And connected with that, waiting patiently. Now, these are things that have been a blessing to us through the years. And most of our lives are made up of little things. And these are things that are calculated to be a help to us in the things of God. We cannot help but think that when Hannah year by year went up to the house of the Lord to see that young son that she had given to the Lord, wholly and entirely. And she took up that little coat, or that little robe as it may have been, that she would make allowances for his growth and development physically. Now, in a spiritual way, should not the same be true of you and me? Every passing year, when conference time comes round, I do trust that every one of us have grown a little spiritually. That we have developed from one year to another. We we have seen men, we have met men who, to our surprise, were only saved maybe for 4 or 5 years. Men saved raw out of the world. And we've been amazed at the grasp of Scripture they had in that little while. Well, how did they get it? They didn't get it being a windshield Christian. That is, they weren't driving with their foot on the pedal and their eyes through the windshield a good deal of the time. They got it by being in the presence of God with the Word of God. There's no other way of getting it. And so that here, we think of Samuel's growth and how it is commented on and how he grew. And of course, there has to be divine life to begin with. No one can grow spiritually in any way unless he has divine life from God. But if he has that life there, it'll develop if given a little care and a little shepherding and a little purpose of heart in the mind of that young Christian, and he'll grow. I remember a man we sometimes used to labor a little with. He was a businessman, but he used to take time out to preach the gospel with us. And he said, in cases where you seem to be doubtful about anyone, whether he's really saved or not, he says, just try and give him a little bite and see if he can take it or not. You know, a dead child can't take any milk. But you know, if you just try to give someone a little bit from the Word of God and see how they respond to it. And if there's divine life there, you'll find a response, some kind of a response, and you'll be encouraged perhaps to believe, well, there must be life there after all. Well, we think of Samuel and how he grew, and how he and Israel could see that he was established to become a prophet of the Lord. There was a mark and the evidence of growth and development. And of course, he really became a mature man before he began to really be felt. The weight of that man began to be felt in the nation of Israel. I think in chapter 7 of that book, 1 Samuel, where we have him perhaps in one of the major activities of his ministry, he was possibly by that time about 40 years of age. But he lived for over 50 more to serve God and serve God's people. And Samuel became a mighty man. And so we trust that we little know, some young Christian, we might even be kind of hazy about them, wonder, have they really got life at first? But oh, I'll tell you, if life is there, what a joy it is to see growth and development. And we little know what that person might turn out to be for God. So may the Lord help every one of us. And as far as spiritual growth is concerned, it's not like physical growth. Physical growth reaches a limit. Sometimes upwards and sometimes outward. Sometimes the limit outward is a little too much. But anyway, there is a limit to physical growth, but there need be no limit to our spiritual growth. We can grow and develop and become enriched in our souls until the time comes that the Lord takes us home. We'll never exhaust the book, and may God help us to have a real capacity for it. And then secondly, we think of this woman. Her name is not given, although she's called a great woman, but we do not know what her name was. She lived in very lowly circumstances in the nation of Israel. But as Elijah passed by there from time to time, why, they had him for a meal. But you know, she wasn't satisfied with that. She wanted to do more for God. And so she said, let us make him a little chamber on the wall, where when he comes along, he can go in there and he can rest and be refreshed. And she knew, she called him a holy man of God. And she no doubt knew that no man can be a holy man of God. He cannot maintain that apart from personal prayer, being much in the closet. Oh, brethren, you know, the tempo of life today, the demands in the things of this world have increased with all the inventions and all the conveniences. Our time is demanded more than ever. And if we're going to spend time in prayer, we've got to take the time. because the devil in the flesh will see we don't get it otherwise. And so may the Lord help us. And if we're going to have any measure of holiness that is going to be a blessing to ourselves and to others, it is going to be by being in God's presence. So this woman's sphere of usefulness increased and grew. And I'm sure Elijah appreciated that little chamber on the wall. He knew there was a place where he could draw aside, where he could be alone, and where he could be in the presence of God. Oh, how vital it is. No doubt a lot of our weakness, a lot of our difficulties stem from the fact, not because of a lack of knowledge, but because of the fact that we're not practicing the presence of God. You know, we betray ourselves in the prayer meeting because the people of God, even if they're carnal, they can tell by our prayers whether we are developing or whether we're living in the presence of God or not. Now, I don't want to deter people from praying, but oh, just think about this. You cannot be alone with God and feeding on His Word without that development that's going to tell in the prayer life, whether it's in private and whether it's in the public sphere as well. How important it is to draw aside, to get into God's presence and to be alone with Him for the development of our own soul. I heard about a little boy, somebody might know who he was, but years ago, his father was sitting reading his Bible, and the little fellow was coming in all the time, now and then, and till the father began to say, "Well, what do you want?" He was kind of bothering him a little bit by coming in all the time. "Oh," he says, "Daddy, I just want to be where you are." Well, wouldn't that be a rebuke? And you see, that boy, he just wanted his father's company and presence. And doesn't God want your company and mine too? Doesn't He want to see our face and hear our voices? Certainly He does. And just to allow Him in the presence of God to speak to us. We heard about a man one time, and he was Christian. He was found sitting on a rock, and some Christians came along and they said to him, "What are you doing?" "Well," he said, "I'm just sitting here letting God love me." I think some of us are moving around too fast to realize that. And so how necessary it is to be in His presence. And then this rather strange experience that Elijah had, in 1 Kings is rather remarkable, where he went to that woman of Sarepta. I take her to be a Gentile woman, according to the Lord's comment in Luke chapter 4. And Elijah was sent to that woman. He didn't know where he was going, but he came to, no doubt, to the place and asked this woman for a drink of water. And then he asked her, when she said, he said, "Bring me a cake in thine hand." And here she was at her extremity. And when she told him all that she had left, a little meal in a barrel in a cruse, and a little meal in a barrel and oil in a cruse, and that was going to be their last little bite before starvation would do its work. You think of Elijah's word to her. "Go and do as you have said, but bake me a little cake first." You would think that was just outright presumption. For a man to ask, "Bake me a little cake first." Elijah was God's representative. And that woman, without hesitation, she responded to what he said. There was that responsiveness there. "Well," she said, "as the Lord thy God liveth." She didn't say "my God," but she said, "the Lord thy God liveth." And then told her what she had. And then he gave her the message of God. "The barrel of meal shall not waste, nor shall the cruse of oil fail, until the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." You see, the word came just at the right time. And as far as I'm concerned, that barrel never got filled with meal. It just had that little bit in it all the time. And that cruse didn't get filled up with oil, it just had that little bit there all the time. But every time she went back for the next meal, it was there, it was still there. The purpose and blessing of God. And so that this woman gave responsibly. It teaches you and me the lesson of putting God first in my life. That's something that we need to learn, brethren, is put God first. Put Him first in my time, put Him first in my activities, and put Him first in my possessions as well. Give God His portion. And many here who have practiced this for years can certainly bear mute testimony to the fact that God says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." It pays to honor God and to learn that in early Christian experience. We need to learn these things when we're young. I knew a young fellow in his teens, and the first work that he got wasn't much of a job, and it was in times when a dollar was a dollar, not just a few cents. And when he got his first week's pay, he said to his mother, Mother, "I would like to share this between the two brethren that preached the gospel here when I got saved." And it was just after he was saved for a little while. And although she had a big household to feed, and she looked forward to that little bit of money to use, she said, "Well, you just go ahead." And he did that. Well, you know, it's a good thing to start at the beginning of your life and honor God, and you'll find out that God will bless you for it. When we come to Revelation 3, we have the thought of service. We know the context of the passage there, but I often think of those words of the Lord to the church at Philadelphia. "Thou hast a little strength, but notice this, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." A little strength to serve scripturally. You think of that word of encouragement at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, there's a lot of work done professedly for God that could not be scripturally called the work of the Lord. It could be work for God. But the work of the Lord is that which is scriptural and carried out according to God's word. And after years of observation, I have come to this conclusion that God's work never suffers for the lack of finances when it's done in God's way. You think about that. When God's work is done in God's way, there's finances to carry it on. That's why we don't have to do what these other so-called evangelical people are doing. And I'll tell you, they're just becoming the most adept at begging, while they would just melt the heart of a stone the way they can talk to you. But oh, to think of the work of the Lord. Get involved in the work of the Lord. That which has a scriptural basis. And seek to serve in that capacity. And we'll know what it is to use that little strength. Thou hast a little strength. In remnant days, use that little strength that He can give, because He'll keep giving it as long as we need it in seeking to serve Him. And then, brethren, think of that little word, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." A little while. Oh, I wonder, brethren, are we waiting patiently, expectantly, hoping, longing, and just saying in the language of Revelation 22, I believe this should be the prayer, the earnest attitude of every Christian. "Come, Lord Jesus." I believe that's the revised reading of that text, the "even so" is maybe not there at all. Just simply those three words, "Come, Lord Jesus." If we're looking for our heavenly bridegroom, just think of His thoughts about the time, about that moment. He is waiting until the time and the purpose of God when he's going to come again. He's waiting. God said, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. And before they do become his footstool, he's going to come and take you and me to be with himself. Do you think he's not waiting patiently? I believe in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 5, it's the patience of Christ we have there. Not patient waiting for Christ, but the patience of Christ. He's waiting patiently for the moment when in divine counsel he will rise and come to take us to be with himself. May God help us by his grace to use a little while until we do see his face.